Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Is passionate love reserved exclusively for the young? Can a mature woman in the second act of her life not only shed old skins, but can she utterly transform like a caterpillar into a butterfly? Is intimacy a spiritual journey? The moving and drama-filled novel, Ariane and Elise, by Etneg Siam, brings two very different people in a post-midlife romance that finds each of them navigating very unfamiliar territory, a modern retelling of the biblical story of Abraham and Sarah. Etneg is a second-generation Haitian. Her parents came to the United States during the early days of the Civil Rights Movement. She grew up in New Jersey, where she attended Catholic schools, later attended Drew University, a Methodist college, studied French, eventually did a year in Tours, France, later 2 years in Paris, pursuing a master's degree in French as well as teaching. She's married, two children and a dog, lives in Massachusetts, where she worked many years in the financial services industry as a compliance professional. Practiced law, did pro bono work, now divides her time between learning chocolate making and beekeeping and taking occasional legal assignments. Ariane and Elise, called a memorable and emotional contemporary romance meets Christian fiction, and author Etneg Siam is our guest on This Week in America. Etneg, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
What a great job you did with this story. Let's take just a few minutes at the beginning. I always love to hear the author in their words talk about the backstory. I didn't want to give away too much, just tease the readers a little bit and the listeners on the program today. Give us a little background from the author perspective of the storyline.
You know, I can start off by saying that the original title when I sat down to write it was Ariane and Elise, Pathway to the Soul. So this book is very much a secular, contemporary story about, you know, people getting together. But at the heart of it, it is very much about faith, not religion, faith. And so the inspiration for this particular story, it's very, for me, kind of funny. I was like, you know, in the kitchen running around my kids, my daughters. I have twin girls. They were four. And I was dealing with my mother, who was, you know, going through dementia and having to move her from Florida to New Jersey. And life was just chaotic. And then I heard this report on NPR about, in this case, it was about the plight of highly educated Black women who will never get married and never have children. And in the midst of all this chaos, I stopped what I was doing to listen. And it so moved me, that particular report, that within a few days, I actually sat down and started writing Ariane and Elise. But what's also interesting is that if you know, the plight of the Black, educated Black woman inspired me, it very quickly changed into something else. It became a much more universal story. And I guess the first, you know, indication of that is at the beginning, I knew that Ariane would be a different kind of person. In this case, he's Armenian. I know a few Armenians, but I'm not familiar with that culture. And this is an example of throughout the writing of the story, I can honestly tell you, I had like voices in my head. I don't want to sound like scary. But like a direction.
Yes.
And I knew from the beginning Ariane was going to be Armenian. And like throughout each step, the male character emerged. So if maybe the inclination was to write more of a chick, you know, a woman's literature piece,
yes,
it became very clear that no, I had to give him a voice. And oftentimes, it's very interesting, when I first tried to shop it around, my editor, I had a developmental editor, and she could not stand the Ariane character. And I would have fights. And I would, like, fights mostly because of, like, I don't understand. You know, and that, and I guess, like, in hindsight, maybe that was the beginning of toxic masculinity, and that's what she was reacting to. But I kind of held my ground. I'm like, I don't understand why you're having such a problem with this. And in all honesty, I actually needed to take a break.
So there's a reason
why I wrote this story 10 years ago. And the other thing I could say is 10 years ago, and this is very much Obama's America, very much the time when Facebook was coming on the scene, a completely different time. And that just happened to be when I was writing it. But back to the Aaron character, the fights that I had with the editor were just so emotional for me, I needed to take a break.
You know, that's fascinating, the background and what went into the story, the way it came to you, the fight that you had in trying to develop the character Aaron and the break you took. When you came back, what was it like going back and picking up that story? Was it difficult? Had your perspective changed during that cooling off period that you had?
No.
Good.
I think that's also what's very interesting to me. I really did take a break. Like, I would try and I said, okay, forget it. I'm shoving it into the dustbin. I'll forget about it. And then literally in 2022, that's when I got the call to sort of, hey, do you want to publish your book? I'm like, that book? And I got dusted it off and I said, wow, I still feel the same way. You know, and then of course with time I introduced other things and I tried to give him a little more complexity. And I don't want to go into it because, you know, I don't want to give that much away. But like I can say once the romance gets going between the two of them, I mean that section of the book reflects the 10-year break. Coming back.
Yes.
You know, and my really thinking about, wow, like, what does it mean to be a man in his early 60s in the dating scene? So that very much is from 2022.
When you read the reviews, they love the depth of characters that you have in the book. The book is Aaron and Elise. I'm going to spell that A-R-E-N, Elise, yes. E-L-I-S-E. The author, yes. Our guest, Etning Siam, that's E-T-T-E-N-I-G-S-A-Y-A-M. Important because her website is etningsiambooks.com. All this available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link directly to her website. Aaron and Elise, the name, if you Google that, you'll find the book. It's at all of the usual places. Let's talk a little bit about developing the format and the storyline here. Talk about a worldly middle-aged couple, different cultures, and can they really find love and passion? Talk about that and how you developed the characters and that storyline.
You know, I live in Massachusetts. You know, I spent a lot of time in, you know, Boston and Cambridge. So I'm surrounded by, like, these are people that I know. Aaron and Elise is not, you know, a biography by any means, but it reflects very much the people of, like, the greater Boston area. Even though this, you know, the story starts in Vermont, but the Aaron character went to MIT. So on a daily basis, you're meeting people from all over the world, people, you know, who've accomplished a great deal. And what I really love personally about the story is that we see the rom-coms, you know, of the 20 and 30-year-olds. We don't really see, like, the mature couple of 40 and 50 and beyond. And it occurred to me that when you don't have to deal with the householding, you know, the worries about sending your kids to college, the mortgage, you know, the date, you know, all of that drama, when that's over, and especially in Massachusetts, where people are very health conscious, life looks a lot different when you're in your 50s and 60s. You're physically able to do lots of things. You run marathons, triathlons, you dance, you know, so on and so forth. Life can be really fun. And so the first part of the book is very much exploring, you know, 50 is not your grandmother anymore, or 60 is not grandpa anymore, or maybe it is, but they're not sitting in the rocking chair doing nothing.
Yes.
They're out there vibrant and interesting. And that's, you know, that's what I wanted to portray in the book.
Well, and you do that so well. The book is Aaron and Elise. Aaron is A-R-E-N, Elise, E-L-I-S-E, the name of the book. Our guest is Etnig Siam. I'll spell that again and give you all the information on our website and Facebook before we conclude the conversation today. You mentioned being in Boston. That's a part of the story that you tell, the Boston Marathon. You use that, and you've got the Heartbreak Hill to finish the race. And
yes.
Boy, as I'm reading that, it's like, wow, I could relate that to a lot of things in life. We all go through heartbreak hills, don't we? And you talk about that, the marathon aspect of it. Briefly talk about that, because that sort of summarizes what they were going through a marathon, and they would have heartbreak hills along the way.
Exactly. I personally did run the marathon, the Boston
very good.
Marathon. And I personally did sit on the sidewalk at Heartbreak Hill and said, oh, my God. And I watched a lot of people, you know, bail. But that inspiration, that's an example of something that came, like, from the absence. Like, it was not in the original, you know, story. That came actually as I was, like, trying to get the book ready for publication. That aspect of editing. And it came to me, the marathon, and you're absolutely right. It just reflects the entire spiritual and romantic journey of the two. And if you've ever run the Boston Marathon, you'll know at mile 20, it's horrible, and it's especially interesting because at that halfway mark, you are just running on adrenaline. Like, no matter how, you know, bad you might think you are as a runner, when you hit that midway point and pass Wellesley College and everyone's cheering, it feels like you're like Air Jordan. You're just like floating. And then when that mile 20 hits, you just want to cry.
Yes.
And that's what happens in the book.
It's such a wonderful story, so well told, and so many elements of this. And everybody in reading the books, like, I can't put it down. I start reading, and I just cannot put it down. I want to see where she's taking us next. And the story, the diverse characters, the depth of the characters that Etnig has in the book. One of the questions it asks is there ever truly a time limit on a person and when they can find love and you late in life and you start thinking about that? I guess people have found companionship for years, but can you actually find love later in life? Talk about approaching it from that aspect. Because like you said, sometimes you think life ends at 40, at least love life ends at 40.
You know, I can maybe answer that by just these random meetings. Like I'll tell you, recently I traveled to Ottawa, Canada, for their book fair, and the woman sitting next to me, a very lovely woman, and on the other side of her was another Haitian, but, you know, and she said, oh, you're an author, and I said, yes, you know, and I tell her about my book, and she started to tear up. This was a woman who probably, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s, and she's a recent widow. And actually, before I even got into really the story of you know, my book, as soon as I said the retelling of Abraham and Sarah, it was like a flash of recognition. And it's something that I see very often when I mention what my story is about. And that for me is confirmation that people understand.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, there are many different things that happen to people that, you know, lead them to perhaps live a life where they're lonely. And people around them are so often to say, oh, well, you know, just deal with it. And my book, I think from the very beginning, was conceived in hope and inspiration. And I'm telling you, like, this is, I've written a lot that's just kind of, you know, waiting to come out. But this is the book where I think I had angels guiding my pen.
It's
a book of hope.
It sounds like you did sort of have help as you were going. It doesn't sound like you had writer's block where you had to stop writing for three months because the ideas weren't coming. Almost the opposite of that. I have to shut these ideas down because I got to go to bed here at some point, so I can't keep writing all night long. I've got to take a break here. The book Aaron and Elise, the book available at all the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Etnig's website, etnigsiambooks.com. We'll give you all that again, Facebook and whatever, all the social media aspect coming up here. We have so many coming-of-age stories. This is sort of coming-of-age-again story, and I like the approach to this, and it's something that people of a certain age, and I would fall in that category certainly, could relate to it and the issues that you're talking about. You mentioned hope before. Is that one of the main takeaways? What are you saying to the reader, and what do you hope the reader takes away besides really finding a very engrossing story, enchanting story with these two? What do you hope the takeaway is by the reader?
You know, in the very beginning of our conversation, I said it's about faith.
Yes.
And so for me, this is not where they nest, except maybe for Aaron a little bit. I am saying as a human being and as a writer that wherever you are in your journey, you have to have that reckoning with God. I am saying that. Maybe not in so many words.
Well, yes,
but,
yes.
But I am saying that. And that as long as you're true to yourself and you nurture that faith, it will turn out. I'm not trying to be Pollyannish about it. But that is the takeaway, that it's never over, no matter what people think and no matter what you think. You have to, again, you know, like go back to that metaphor of the marathon. When you're sitting there at mile 20, 22, and you're hurting and you want to like hurl, you want to like just faint, you still have something to finish. You have a race to finish. And that's what you have to focus on.
This is an important book, and I see it being an important movie as well. Any discussion of taking these characters to a TV series, TV special, a TV movie, or a movie?
Well, you know, we are working on it. We are working on it. And you're absolutely right about there's an appetite for this kind of story. And where mine, I think, is unique is, yes, you know, it's in a cosmopolitan place like, you know, like Boston. But more importantly, when you read the book, I introduce you to literature. I introduce you to the great poets of the days, like Pablo Neruda from Chile, from, you know, Paul Elan from France, and that these were poets who were going through tumultuous times. And yet, during that time, both of them had very erotic and political poetry. And that's coming from my background, from having studied, you know, French and living abroad. But I'm saying in these tumultuous times, our poets now and then have something to teach us and to remind us. And so throughout the book, I'm constantly throwing literary references, music references. I'll just stop myself and say, this book introduced me to Leonard Cohen. I never listened to Leonard Cohen.
Interesting.
And don't ask me why. And then again, this is about inspiration. For me, when I look at what I write, Leonard Cohen is like all over Aaron, but that's not how it started. I never listened to him. I barely knew who Leonard Cohen was. And if you wanted to know like who Aaron is, look at Leonard Cohen.
fascinating how this developed, the genesis of this, how it developed as you were writing and telling the story. Time is going by so quickly, a little bit left in the program. And I want to take a second here. Do you have like a favorite excerpt or paragraph or paragraphs from the story that you'd like to share with us, all of us readers or potential readers of Aaron and Elise? And this is the book we're talking about. Aaron Elise is the book, and I'll give you all the information on that here in a second. But is there anything you would share with us?
Yes, and forgive me, my dog Johnny has decided to join me, so he's making noise.
That's good.
So, this is in the very beginning, when they first meet. They're on a hiking trip separately, and they meet, and now it's time to part ways. And Aaron is like, wait a minute, maybe I'm not ready to say goodbye. And so it begins. Are you traveling with someone? No, she said. Maybe it was her body language, or the far away look in her eyes, or maybe the dryness in her tone, but I understood she was single, or at least attached. I fished out my wallet from my pocket and pulled out my card. I walked toward her and handed it to her. Silly me, I thought she would do the same and hand me her card, but she didn't. Instead, she focused on the card and avoided my gaze. I'm not a scary person. I'm respectable. Really, I said. She smiled. Now that the sun was at its midpoint and streaming down upon us, I realized she reminded me of the Marvel Comics X-Men character Storm, minus the imperious look. I realized then, giving Elise my card meant nothing. She would most likely file away my card and forget about me. I had to think of something. What would a proper lady appreciate? You know, there's a wonderful tea salon near where you're staying, the Dobra Tea Room. Why don't we meet for tea this afternoon? 3 o'clock? She hesitated. You do drink tea, right? Or I'm sure they serve something else if you don't like tea. She was smiling with amusement. Her lashes were fluttering, but not wildly like before. She was studying me. I don't know, Aaron. I fixed my gaze on her. It's just tea and conversation, I said. She was appraising me the way I had appraised her. I'm skipping this expletive there. Were my eyes still haggard and bloodshot the way they were this morning? Oh, and I was wearing my Yankees baseball hat, backward, of course. No wonder she treated me like a goofball. I was a goofball. Expletive, expletive. She bit her lower lip and blinked a few times, thinking, wait, can you give me back the card I gave you? I'll write down the address. She handed me back my card, and I pulled out my phone and searched my address list and copied down the information on the card before handing it back to her. The tea room, she repeated. Tea and conversation, I said, and made the sign of an X on my chest. Cross my heart. I've always liked that expression. It's so wonderfully American, she said. So is that a yes? I asked gingerly. The bus driver honked, startling Elise for a moment. She looked back at me. A pinch of flesh was being pressed down by her teeth. She did the blinking thing again, but it was more subtle. All right, 3 o'clock. But if I change my mind, don't take it personally, okay? I don't really make it a habit of going on a date with a stranger. It's not a date. It's tea and conversation. It's a date, she said, and so it is. I'll see you at 3, I said. She laughed this time, flashing the whitest smile. The bus engine started.
First of all, you need to do an audiobook because I forgot that we were actually doing an interview. I'm sitting back enjoying the story that you're telling there. And we all need to pick up a copy of Aaron and Elise to go to 3 o'clock and see what actually happens. I know it's only tea, but you never know what's going to happen with tea. That's sort of the preface to many things. So we'll see what happens in the book. Time is gone. It's been such a fascinating conversation. I'm going to take 30 seconds here. Are you working on another book? Have you been inspired to write something else?
There is another book.
Oh, good.
There is another book, and it is a coming of age. Totally different.
Interesting. Well, hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that. The time has gone by way too quickly. I want to mention social media. I mentioned the website. You're on Facebook as well. Where are you on social media? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter?
You know, I'm mostly on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook at Nick Siam. And I will do a plug. The best place is to go to Ethnic, ethnicsayam.com. That's another website. And there you should find the most updated information. And so I guess that's it. I mean, if anyone is going to be in London, I'll be in the London Book Fair in April.
Fantastic.
And just keep an eye out for me. I'm new, fresh off the block. And finding my way.
And very talented. Well, you've got a good flashlight because you're finding your way and you're able to enrich so many lives by the story that you're telling. This book is Aaron and Elise, AreneElise. The book available wherever books are sold. I thank inksandbinding.com for arranging our conversation today. The website's etnigsayambooks.com, and I'm going to spell that etnigsayambooks.com. And what you said, the other one more up to date is just your name.
Right. The other one is just ethnicsiam.com, but that has the most recent information.
And if you Google, you'll find all of that, and we'll have information on our website as well.
Yes.
Ethnic, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program. Great success with the book. Well-deserved. Look forward to doing it again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Ethnic Siam, the author and our guest, and of course, all the information on today's program on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.